So I know that you've already been outspoken about this because I just read about it in the Asheville Citizen Times. But could you tell me, I guess, you know, the plan that's passed the Senate regarding sales tax redistribution and the way that we collect it and distribute it? Could you tell me what that would mean for Asheville, what that would mean for Buncombe County?
Well, there's been several different versions, but the version that's in the Senate bill is devastating, really, for Buncombe County and Asheville and all the other municipalities in Buncombe County. There are six total cities in Buncombe County. And once this is fully phased in, it will mean a revenue loss for Buncombe County, the six cities in Buncombe County, and I haven't seen the numbers yet, but presumably for the school systems and the fire districts. And that is because what the legislation is proposing to do is to change the way sales tax proceeds are distributed. Right now, they are distributed primarily in the place where they are collected. So wherever that sales transaction takes place, that is the area that recoups most of those sales tax proceeds. In our case, right now, the way it works is 80% are 80% of the sales tax collected in Buncombe County is retained one way or another in Buncombe County and distributed throughout the county. This legislation would turn that on its head, and by the year 2019, it would fully phase in the flip where only 20% of the proceeds collected here would be retained here, and the rest would be redistributed across the state. That's my understanding of how that would work.
Now, I know that one of the things that they have done with this, or at least as part of the plan, would be to allow counties to raise, raise property taxes as a way to sort of blunt the impact of this on more urban counties. Is that something that you think would help?
Well, you know, actually what they've done in this legislation is we've always had the ability to raise property taxes. Any city can do that. The county can do that. It doesn't take a referendum. They can the commission or the council can determine that they need to raise property taxes. And, the strategy here is very political. It would mean a substantial loss of revenue to urban areas, which coincidentally happen to be more Democratic areas, and force those councils and commissions to raise property taxes to make up the revenue loss. That's pretty strategic and pointed, I would argue. What this bill does is it offers counties the opportunity to raise to add a sales tax to the sales tax already being collected in an amount no greater than a half cent. And in our case, Buncombe County already has a quarter cent in place. So Buncombe County would only be able to do another quarter cent sales tax, and it would have to be done by referendum. So the people would have to agree that they want to add another quarter cent sales tax to make up for the loss that we would see through this redistribution formula where our sales tax revenues would be pushed to more rural counties.
Oh, okay, I see. Now, with regards to the fairness of this, I mean, there are some who would argue that you've got people from rural counties who are coming into work in, say, Buncombe County, and would then eat in Buncombe County and then spend their money, but then go home to, say, Madison County and then not, you know, see the benefit of that money that is going out in sales taxes. What would you say to that?
You know, I think that, one of the things that is so challenging about setting new policy in any area is operating assumptions. I mean, I think that we can all agree you know, in a nonpartisan fashion, that we're all interested in seeing a better North Carolina. We want a better economy. We want more jobs, more opportunity for people. And the question is, how do we get there? And the premise of this sales tax legislation is that if you take money from urban areas and push it to rural areas, this will cause rural areas to see great gains. They will see job creation. They'll be able to stay there in their cities and their counties, and we will see retail shops open up. We will see medical practices flourish. We'll see all kinds of economic activity that we don't see today. And it will somehow reverse the trend of people moving from rural areas to urban areas. And that is a national trend that is happening without a doubt. And that is due to many reasons, primarily market forces, I would argue. And I think that the premise is wrong. I think that the premise being that if you just take money from urban areas and push it to rural areas, it will change the trajectory of North Carolina's economy. And I don't think that that is actually going to work. And I think it's going to hurt urban areas that operate as economic hubs for regions where people do go to work, and they count on those urban areas being healthy and robust and providing jobs for people that live either in Buncombe County or around Buncombe County. And we know, because our Chamber of Commerce just did a study, we know that 40% of the people that are working every day in Buncombe County are not living in Buncombe County. They're coming here from other areas to work, and they're depending on Buncombe County to stay strong and be a thriving economy to support a regional economy.
How big a hit would that loss of revenue be, and what would that mean for Asheville and for Buncombe County?
Well, you know, the devil's in the details. If you use the very conservative growth estimates that the Senate is using for their fiscal explanation of the impact, they use an assumption that sales tax will grow at 3.5% per year. And with that assumption, they say that by the time this is fully phased in the year 2019-2020, Buncombe County will see a loss of around $9 million in revenue. And Asheville will see a loss of around $2.4 million. Now, I can tell you that using an assumption of 3.5% sales growth makes those numbers look not as bad as they're really going to be. And that's because right now, this year in Buncombe County, we're seeing sales tax growth at 10%. And we always have seen more aggressive sales tax growth for our area because we're a growing area, we're a growing economy, and we're thriving. So to use an assumption like that only makes those numbers look smaller than they're really going to be.
I see. Okay. Another thing that we've been hearing a lot about recently is this room tax. As I understand, the room tax can increase, but it's still most of the proceeds from the room tax here in Asheville would go to promoting tourism rather than going into the city coffers. What do you think about that? Is that something that you'd like to see changed?
Well, you know, it's always interesting to me to have a conversation with people about the room tax, because I think a lot of people assume that Asheville levies the room tax and that Asheville spends the money to promote Asheville and to promote tourism. But interestingly, and Asheville has a lot of things that are different than other places in the state, we have a Tourism Development Authority, which is an independent authority that does not operate under the city council. And it is charged with taking that room tax, which is currently 4 cents or 4%, and spending it to promote tourism, marketing, basically. And right now, though, of that 4 cents, 1 penny is put into what's called a TPDF fund. And this is a fund where the TDA essentially has a subcommittee that can make grants out of that TPDF fund for bricks and mortar projects that promote or support tourism. So Asheville has, in this indirect way, received funds to do things like improve the U.S. Cellular Center. There's been some funding for the River Arts District project for pieces that are arguably tourist-related and go to infrastructure improvements. So in a roundabout way, Asheville has received some of that money. But in other places, you can see where the city actually receives that money directly. It doesn't have to go apply for monies to an outside group that determines whether they get the money, and the city in this case is competing against nonprofits and for-profits. What this legislation will do is increase that room tax from 4 cents to 6 cents, and it will eliminate for-profits from being eligible to get money from that TPDF fund. Only nonprofits and governmental entities can apply for those funds. And the room tax will go from 4 cents to 6 cents, and of the additional 2 pennies, a penny and a half will go to the TDA for marketing tourism, and another half cent will go to that TPDF fund, bringing the TPDF fund to about bringing it to 1.5 cents total, which is around, I think it's going to be around $3.5 million a year. In being resources that the city can apply for to offset some of our other expenses.
Ah, I see. Okay. And
so, do you ask me if I'd like it to change? And of course, I would like it to change. I'd like it to be more reflective of the way other cities are able to more directly manage their room tax money.
Mm-hmm. And why do you think it's different for Asheville?
Well, lots of things are different for Asheville, and there's, of course, a whole history to the room tax in Asheville and how that was set up. But that's how it was established initially, and it just hasn't changed since then. It's legislated.
I see. And is it correct that the Asheville city budget should be voted on tomorrow?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how do you think that's shaping out? Like, are you happy with what's being proposed?
Yeah, I mean, we've had many meetings about the budget already, and we've provided a lot of opportunity for the community to speak about the budget and their concerns and issues. And that has resulted in some changes as the document has evolved over the last couple of months and several weeks. And so I think we've landed in a good place with the budget, and I expect that it'll be voted on tomorrow night. And I think that it will go through as it currently is proposed, which reflects some of these changes that have occurred in the last few weeks through our hearing process.